Well, when I wrote my homily for this weekend yesterday, I was anticipating that it was going to be really hot in church. And it's actually beautifully cool in here this morning. So when I got here, I lengthened my homily by about 20 minutes. I hope that's okay. I'm just kidding. I didn't. St. John the Evangelist has a habit of mentioning in his gospel when Jewish feasts are taking place. And that's especially because of his desire for us to understand the Lord Jesus as the one who fulfills the feasts and covenants of the Old Testament. We heard it today. Before detailing this account of Jesus feeding thousands of people in a miraculous way, St. John makes sure to tell us that the feast of Passover was near. If we're a little rusty, we should recall that the Jewish feast of Passover was the sacred ceremonial meal celebrated on an annual basis in which the Jewish people recalled how God, in his saving love, had rescued them from slavery in Egypt. So by referring to the feast of Passover, right before Jesus provides the people with an abundance of food, St. John wants to draw our attention to how the Eucharist is the fulfillment of this feast of Passover, because the Eucharist is God providing a sacred ceremonial meal for his people to give them nourishment and remind them of his saving love, which brought about our being rescued from sin and slavery to death. So this multiplication of the loaves by our Lord is a sign, it's a foreshadowing of that bountiful and grace-filled ceremonial meal that we now know, of course, as the Mass, where Jesus provides for us from our meager offering, our little gifts of bread and wine, and in return gives to us something infinitely more valuable, his own body and blood. That's a spiritual interpretation of Jesus' actions in the gospel today. But as important as it is, of course, it's not the lesson that I would like to focus on primarily. The lesson I'd like to focus on is not as important as the Holy Eucharist, of course, because that is the source and the summit of our faith, but it's still a very important lesson that I think this story teaches us. This gospel reminds us of our obligation as Christians to do what we can to provide for the needs of others, just as our Lord did, especially to provide food for others. Notice that in both the first reading and in the gospel, an anonymous person makes a small, meager offering of some food, but also notice they give everything they have, right? It's small, but it's all they have. And God then takes that offering and transforms that into something amazing and sustaining. Brothers and sisters, I think it's important for us on a very regular basis to take stock of what we have and to realize just how truly blessed we are. Because after Mass this morning, I could drive a few blocks over to Zupp's and have almost unlimited access to fresh food. Do we ever take time to think about how much of a blessing that is? And that it is not the case in other parts of the world. Do I ever take time to think about how truly blessed I am that I was born here, where I have easy access to fresh food and clean water? Because there are brothers and sisters of ours, fellow human beings living in places like Africa and Asia and Central and South America, who will have nothing to eat today. Or we'll have to scavenge for food, hoping to find something that's edible, and maybe even a little clean water. Do we take time from time to time to think of them and their situation, and us and our situation, and realize there's nothing different between us other than where we were born and where we live? And does it prompt us to give thanks? And then do we do anything about it? Do we do anything to act accordingly to help them in their need? Let me suggest three little things, right? Kind of like in the gospel, those little meager offerings that God can transform. Three little things that we can do. First, when we pray our prayer before meals, we should resist the temptation to pray the "Bless us, O Lord," right? On autopilot, as I like to say. Now, it's easy to do it, and I know that because, unfortunately, I do it all the time, a lot more than I'd like to admit. But we should try to make an effort to pray that prayer when our food is sitting in front of us with intention, thinking about the words that I am saying, these gifts which come from your bounty. In other words, they are God's gift to us. Recognizing that the food before us, the drink before us, is really God's gift to us. Secondly, we should try as much as we can not to waste food, because I'm convinced that there are people in our world who would literally walk miles for the food that we as Americans often end up throwing away. And third, we could consider giving financial assistance to a trusted Catholic or Christian charity or organization that provides food for the poor in the world. That would be a real and practical way of helping to put food on the tables of the hungry. God has provided for us in our needs, and now he asks us to give of ourselves to help him to provide for others.